We continue our learning. We are in Erechin. Perakei Mishnah Vav. Chayevei Arachim Memashkin Rosam. Someone who's chayev in Erech, we take a matkan. Potentially, we could take a security. People who are obligated to give this money to the Beis Hamikdash, we want to make sure they paid it on time. So the base, it says the Bartanur, the Gizbar, the treasurer of the Beis Hamikdash, Nichnas Leveisam, can enter their homes, Venotel Baal Korcham, and against their will, can take a security if they don't pay up in order to guarantee that pay up. That's with respect to an Erech. But Chayve Chatos Va'ashamos, but people who have to bring a Korban Chatos to the Beis Hamikdash, or a Korban Asham, a guilt offering to the Beis Hamikdash, Ein Mashkin Osam. The Gizbar, the treasurer, does not come after this person to ensure that they're going to bring, that they bring this Korban. They don't take a security. Why is that so? So the Barturi explains, Kevon de l'chapara asu, since they are coming, the purpose of a sin offering, a Chatos, an Asham, a guilt offering, are for atonement. So lo mashu, the people are going to delay. An Erech vow, that fixed amount, okay, people may delay a long time. What is it? What do I gain by bringing it? What do I lose by not bringing it? But a Korban Chatos, Korban Asher, a person wants atonement. So they may, so they're not going to leave it around. The Ein Mashkin Osam, that's why there's no need for us to, for the Beis Din to get involved, to the Gizbar, the Beis Hamikdash to get involved and take a security. The Chatos Nazir adds to the Bar Tanur, but wait, there is the Chatos of a Nazir. Hovil v'lav l'chapara asya. That's not bought for kapara purposes. Maybe we should be memashkein. We should take a security for that person, for the nazir who has to bring this chatas. After all, ve'ena ma'akav tome listos yai. Not only that, even the nazir who doesn't bring this korban just yet, he still, even if his nazirus is over, it doesn't prevent him from drinking wine even. So it doesn't, it's not for kapara. It doesn't prevent him from drinking wine. It's something he has to bring. It's the chatos of the nazir. But nonetheless, we need an incentive to make sure that he brings it. Shekeven shenizrak hadam shel echod min hakarbanos hutar hanazir listos yalim talmeisim. Once one of the karbanos have its blood sprinkled, the halacha for the nazir, brings three karbanos at the end. Once one of the karbanos are brought and you sprinkle the blood, the nazir is able to drink wine, is able to become tamei meis. So why should we be concerned, should we not be concerned over here? Zimnin de pasha mashile. So therefore we may be negligent and delay regarding this chatas. So you can't say that when it comes to all korbanos chatas, all sin offerings, there's no reason why we need to take a security. So says the Bar Tanura, Hilkoch b'mashkin and also al chataso. In fact, the chatas nazir, the gizbar, has the right to take a security from him in order to ensure that he brings it. Then the Mishnah says, but chayave olo sushlamin, those who are obligated to be a carbon ola or a carbon shlamin, then b'mashkin and osan, we do take a mashkon. Why? Because these are carbonos that are brought as donations. They're not obligations. They're not brought for kapara. So the same way when it comes to an erech neder, we have to make sure that they're brought on time. Here too, we have the right to do so. Says the Bar Tanura, but wait, Afal Gav de Ola Mechaperes Alase, Valav Hanitak Lase. A Korban Ola is brought as Kapar. It's not only brought as a neder, as a donation. It's Mechaper on an Ase, on positive commandments, and on a Lav Hanitak Lase. That's a negative commandment that can be rectified with a positive commandment, like stealing, where you don't get Malkus for that. Because you can, because a person can just return the object that he stole. We have other examples as well. And any positive commandment that a person is negligent, a person does not perform. So an ola serves as atonement for those. Says the Bar Tanura, that's not enough. Hoil v'lav chova havya. Since it's not an obligatory korban, lo chashav lo kapor, it's not considered an atonement. V'asul shahuya, we're afraid a person is going to delay. Hilkoch mishkin and osa. But adds the Bar Tanura, v'yesh me chayve olos she'ein memashkin enosam. There are chayve olos for which we will not take a mashkon, but of course, apparently they are brought as kapara. What are they? Where do you have a chayuv ola that is an absolute atonement? Kigon olas mitzora, the ola of a mitzora, person has tzaras, and part of the purification process is to bring this ola l'fishe ma'akeves taharaso. That will prevent his purification if he doesn't bring it. Therefore, we don't need an incentive. He's not going to leave it around. He won't delay. And therefore, there would be no need to take a security for the ola of a mitzora. So the chatas of a nazir is an exception to the rule of the Chayve Chatos, where Chatos we typically do not take a mashkon because there's no need for an incentive because the people are going to get atonement, but the Chatos Nazir is an exception because that's not for atonement purposes. And he's able to drink wine even without that. And when it comes to Olo and Shlomo, which are generally donated karbanos, for which we do need to take a mashkon because people may delay, one exception to that is Oles Mitzora, which is brought for purification process purposes for the Mitzora, and that it brings him some degree of kapara. Therefore, we don't need at all to be mamashkin to take a security for that olas Mitzora. Then the Mishnah says, afal pi, regarding the olos ushlamim, chayvei olos ushlamim, mamashkin rasan afal pi shein miskapilo ad she yisratze, even though when it comes to the carbon is not brought, is not, in other words, even the olam, the shlamim, he's not going to get ritzui. Hashem is not going to accept the carbon until he actually brings it. So it really is the purpose anyway. Shneamar liritzono. It says liritzono has to be of his will. Not so. What the Mishnah is saying is the following. To take a mashkon, so that sounds like you're forcing someone, you're coercing someone to bring the karban. So what is it worth taking the security? Now the person, he wanted a delay, he didn't bring his ola, he didn't want to bring his shlama. Now you're forcing him to do so by taking his watch, by taking his security. Why then would the karban fulfill its obligation? Don't karbanos have to be brought willingly? Liritzo, no. So the Mishnah explains, even though the karban really doesn't take any effect, it's not effective at all for him. The Ola, the Shlomim, that which he pledged until the Yisratze, he's interested in bringing it, and now you're basically coercing him to bring it. Shenema Liritzono, doesn't the Karban say regarding Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, Liritzono, Karbanos have to be for the Ratzon of the Baal, of the owner. We force him until he says, I agree, this is what I want to do. So the idea of taking security that forces him to do so is really that we know deep down, it's only the Yetzer Hara that's preventing him from bringing this. So therefore, we can assume once he brings it, it is really the Ratzon. It's something he really wants to do deep down. He wants to do the right thing. Another example of the same phenomenon is regarding a get. We force in the husband until he says, I want to, which means that that although when it comes to a get, husband has to give a get l'ratzon, but there are times where he refused to give a get and we try to coerce him to give a get. Nonetheless, we assume, and the Rambam explains this in Hilchos Gerishin, Perek Beis, Halacha Chaf, famously, that we assume that that deep down, a person, it's only the Yetzer Hara that's preventing him from giving the get to his wife. Deep down, he wants to do the right thing. So the Baruch Tanur says, Kol mi shedino shekofen oso legaresh. Anyone who we have with Allah is we have to coerce him to divorce his wife, and he didn't want to, you'll say, oh, but then it's not l'ratzon. The get is not effective. Husband has to divorce his wife with his will. Based in Shel Yisrael, Makin Osoa Cheyama Rotzani, they hit him, they beat him till he says Rotzani, and we can assume when he says Rotzani, he's being sincere. The Nosin Aget, Vuhu Kosher. We begin the sixth parak. The little introduction. Person brings something to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Beit HaKabayis. So the Gizbar is the one who takes charge of whatever that property is. And of course, there are many things people donate to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is not going to use the object itself. And the Gizbar, the treasurer, is going to sell it and make sure he gets the good price for it, so Hekdesh gains, and he uses that for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So we're going to use, there's going to be a similar halacha, not regarding Hekdesh, but regarding Yisomim, regarding orphans. The Mishnah here says, Shum ha Yisomim shloshim yom. You have a case where the land, the estate, the father passed away, the orphans now have the father's estate, and we want to make sure that the orphans are going to get the best price of that which is going to be sold. Why would they be selling the estate at all? Because the father has a debt. And since the father has a debt, so that part of the Yusha has to go pay that debt, but we want to make sure by selling some of the property in order now For there to be money to pay back the debt. We want to get the best prices for that which selling. So there are auctions. So we have to make sure to give enough time for people to see what's for sale. And well, they can compete. And hopefully we'll get the best price. So the Mishnah here says, Shema Yisomim. When it comes to the land of the orphans, that's appraised to be sold. So you have to advertise it for 30 days before the sale, which means when the Beis Din is going to sell the property that belonged to them to pay that debt, so the court is going to evaluate the property. And for 30 days before they sell it, they actually announce that they're going to be selling the property. This way people will be involved in that auction and well, they'll get the best price for the children. And therefore, that idea, the Mishnah says, applies to Hekdesh as well. Vishum ha-Hekdesh shishum yom. Meaning, when it comes to the Yisomim, we say 30 days. And it comes to Hekdesh, we're going to say 60 days. Happens to be, though, when it comes to, take the example of the orphans, so you don't have to do 30 days. What you could do is 60 days if you do Monday and Thursday for 60 days, and although that instead of doing 30 consecutive days, although that will not amount to the same amount of days, nonetheless, that may be better. So that's another option. Hekdesh, though, we say should be 60 days and 60 consecutive days. This applies to what we call a stay mikneh, this that was donated to the Beis HaMikdash. And we mentioned this a little bit in the past. We'll mention this a little bit in the future, in the seventh perek. When it comes to a stay achuza, the ancestral field, when that's sold, so that's sold for a fixed price. We mentioned that in the past. And therefore, you don't have to advertise that at all because it does depend on what people are willing to pay. The Torah has a fixed value for what that's going to be depending on how large the area that piece of land is. So once again, Shema Yisomim is Shloshim Yom, is 30 days. Or we said 60 days, but only Monday and Thursday, which we said will not amount to a full 30 days. And Shema HaHekdesh, the land of the temple treasury, that has to be appraised and sold. And so the Beis HaMikdash makes enough money, is able to use that money. That's advertised for 60 days before the sale. U'machrizin baboker uvo'erev. And the Mishnah says, you're supposed to make an announcement in the morning and in the afternoon. Why does that help the morning and afternoon? So the bartender says, "Bishas hotzas polim," when the workers go out, or "Bishas achnasas polim," when they come in. Why is that? So that people who are interested in buying will ask their workers to look at the property when they're out in the field, and then they announce it again in the evening to remind people potentially going to buy to ask the workers, "Oh, well, you know, what'd you see? You know, did you check it out today? Check out the field, check out the land. Tell me what you saw." So that's Baboker Uva'erev. Then the Mishnah says, Hamakdish nechasa v'hoysa alav ksuvas isha. So you have a case where a person donated something to the Beis HaMikdash, and he has every right to do so. The problem is that there's a lien already on his property. He couldn't be makdish that to the Beis HaMikdash, whatever it was, could be a piece of land, could be a piece of furniture, could be anything, because there's a lien on all of the husband's property when he gets married to pay the ksuva. So if he doesn't have enough now, he's giving to the Beis HaMikdash, there's not enough left in his estate to pay the ksuva, so all of that property is under a lien to pay the ksuva. So Makdish Nechasa V'Hoysa Olav Ksuva Asisha, he's under obligation to pay a ksuva, and therefore there was a lien on that property, if he would divorce or he dies. So the Mishnah here says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kishe Yigarashena Yadir Hana. If he divorces her, he has to make a neder which forbids him to benefit from this woman again. That obviously will prevent him from marrying her. But why are we afraid of? What exactly are we afraid of? That he needs to take a neder, he's not getting hana from her, he's not going to remarry her. Remember, this is someone who is makdish nechasim, he is makdish to the Beis HaMikdash, and of course there's a lien on that nechasim to potentially pay the ksuva. So if he now divorces his wife, he has to take a neder. Rabbi Eliezer says, Kishir Goshen, if in fact he divorces her, yadir hana. So what are we afraid of? So remember, this person gave a nice donation to the Beis HaMikdash. We're afraid maybe he really regrets giving something to the Beis HaMikdash, really wants to get it back. realizing that there's a lien on that on this property to pay the Beis HaMikdash. So if he then wouldn't divorce his wife, so then the Beis HaMikdash has all that money. But if he does, so then his wife can claim that money. So maybe what he's going to do, since he regrets giving it to the Beis HaMikdash, really wants to get it back, he has a plan. He's going to divorce his wife, and when she claims the property from Hekdesh, which she has the right to do because there was a lien on it, but before he could be Makdash, it was really Otar and the Ksuva, she'll claim it, she'll get it for her Ksuva, then he'll remarry her, and they'll be able to use the property together. That's what we call a Kanunya. They conspire together to make this plan. In order to avoid this concern, where a person who's Makdash is Nechasim, and of course there, he had a Ksuva, and therefore there's a lien on all his property, Rabbi Eliezer says, if he in fact divorces his wife, he has to be Madir Hanof from her, to guarantee that he doesn't take her back, to avoid this whole conspiracy. Rabbi Shua Omer, Eino Tzarech, he doesn't need to take a Nadir that he's not going to get benefited from her. Why? Because if he regrets, let's say that he gave furniture to the Beis HaMikdash, he's not going to make this whole conspiracy to divorce his wife so she can collect that, what he was Makdish from the Beis HaMikdash. She'll collect it, and then he'll remarry her, and now they'll both share the property together. Why? Because when you're Makdish something, that's like a neder. You have the right to be Matir and Neder. Person has the right to annul anything he was Makdish. So there's no concern about this. He's going to divorce his wife. Well, he could just say, he regretted what he gave to the Beis HaMikdash. He couldn't be Matir, that Neder. Kayotze Bo, another example of this. Amar Shimon Gamliel, Af Ha'erev Le'ish of Iksuvasa. Someone who was a guarantor, signed as a guarantor for a woman Iksuva, that if the husband couldn't pay, this person would pay. Vayabala Megarsha, now the husband is divorcing her, Yader Hana. The husband has to make a neder that he can't benefit from his wife and therefore can't remarry her. Why? Because we're and only then, by the way, can his wife collect from the Arev, the Ksuv and the Arev, because we're afraid that maybe the husband had made a Kenunya, has this whole plan. Shema Yasek Kenunya Am Nechas of Shalzeb, because maybe the husband really doesn't want to divorce his wife, but he's conspiring with her that she's going to collect the money from the guarantor, and then he'll remarry her, and they will share the money together. V'yachzir es ishtos. That's what we're afraid of, and therefore we should avoid that. Tosfos Yedder just makes a point. Isn't it true when someone serves as an arev, as a guarantor, isn't it true that that guarantor is now going to the husband to get paid back? So the answer is maybe, but if the husband spends all of that money already with his wife, and a guarantor comes and says, oh, well, you owe me for my paying the ksuva, he'll say, well, I don't have any money to pay you. And that way, the husband and the wife will gain, and therefore the husband has to take a neder, in this case as well, not to benefit from his wife, so he doesn't divorce his wife, and then conspire, make this whole plan to divorce his wife, and then share the ksuva money together that was paid by the guarantor.